A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Words Appear, a Netflix comedy special.
Clap it up, clap it up. Clap it up, clap it up, clap it up. Keep clapping, clap it up. Keep clapping.
The title, Langston Kerman, Bad Poetry, at the Green Mill Cocktail Lounge.
All right, this next brother coming up, he's supposed to be telling y'all some jokes. Now, I can't verify he's funny, but he is indeed light-skinned. And some people are into that. Give it up for Langston Kerman!
Langston Kerman steps onto the stage.
What up, Chicago? Y'all, this is dope. Thank you for being here. Some of y'all got your winter titties out. This is cool. This is so dope. I hope everybody's feeling good. I hope you're having a good night. I'm doing great. I had a phenomenal thing happen to me very recently. Like, unbelievable shit. I'll tell you. After months of persuasion, my mother-in-law finally put me in charge of her dating apps.
He grins and nods.
Do you understand? I'm pretending to be a 65-year-old woman trying to get her back blown out on an elderly dating app called Sunset Singles. And I'll be honest, I'm having the time of my goddamn life. I wake up every day before I greet my wife, before I unstick my balls from my thigh, I pick up my phone, I open that app, and I just start flirting. I be flirting with old-ass men in big-ass suits, you know what I mean? Turns out, that's my type. I thought I liked my wife. I don't. I like a leathery old sea turtle. I like a wooden teeth-looking motherfucker. With his face too close to the phone and all his pictures. And they be sending me messages like, "Greetings, beloved. My name is Ulysses." That's right, the last Ulysses alive on planet Earth. All other Ulysses died in the Great Black and Mild War of 1964. Anyway, I am electric mailing you this evening to inquire if you might join me on a Cadillac ride to a crab cake dinner. I know a place with pictures of Barack Obama in the menu, so you know it's good. Sound enticing? Call me on my house phone. I'm terrified of technology. A lot of people don't believe me that this is a thing I've been doing, trying to fuck these old men. They think I'm making this up. And so what I've actually started to compile some of the audio messages.
He points.
What's wrong? You don't like elder abuse? You don't like taking advantage of our most vulnerable communities? Agree to disagree.
He chuckles.
What I've done is I've actually compiled some of the audio messages that these men send and post, and I want to share some of them with you tonight. Is that okay? Can I do that? Yeah. Oh, you've changed your mind? Goddamn turncoat. Okay, this first message. No, nay. This first piece I want to share with you this evening. This first selection is a little number that I've simply entitled Love. Love, that's all you need to know. We'll play it for you now.
I love so many things. I love everything. I love God, I love things. But God, what the fuck now? Mine's reached a blank. Not love. And love is all there is. Okay. Yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love love. Fuck it all. I love to love. I live to love. I am a being of love.
I asked this motherfucker where he likes to eat. I didn't ask him none of that. He came back with this weird-ass love manifesto. It's like, I see why you're single, sir. It sounds like you love keeping women's hair in jars. You odd bitch.
He laughs.
I am doing well, man. I'm a father now. I have a small baby at home. Yeah. Thank you. It's very exciting. I love her so much. I might have made a huge mistake. Who knows? How do you know? Do you know what I mean? That's not a familiar feeling. Nobody else feels like a bird trapped in the airport. Don't get me wrong, because I don't want anybody. I love my baby, right? Hey, top five baby, aborted or alive. I love.
His hand raises and he looks around at the audience.
I love my baby. Look, hey, when I show people pictures of my baby and they don't get excited enough, I'll be ready to beat their ass. You know what I'm saying? If I show you a picture of my baby and you just go, she's cute, I'd be like, no, bitch. She's an effervescent beauty. I think what you meant to say is that her cheeks remind you of the clouds that wrap around mountaintops. Tell me she makes you feel like the warmest day in winter. Say you want to kiss her, softly, slowly. That's right, you a pedophile for my baby. You going to jail, you sick fuck. Because you want to Joe Biden sniff my baby.
Winston chuckles as he steps back.
People say wild shit to me now that I have a kid. Do you know what I mean? Real maniacal, evil shit. I had a stranger I've never met before in my life come up to me the other day and tell me having a baby is the best thing that's ever gonna happen to me.
He stares wide-eyed.
The best thing. And keep in mind, I once met Forrest Whitaker in line at an IHOP. Ghost dog. I met him at the International House.
With his hand up, he strikes a pose. He lowers his arm.
This is how it happened, right? I was standing in line at IHOP, minding my business, and out of nowhere, Forrest Whitaker walked in, and he asked to use the bathroom. And then the woman behind the register, she looked at him. She realized, holy shit, that's Forrest Whitaker. And then she said the bathroom was for paying customers only. And Forrest Whitaker, he couldn't believe it, right? He was taken aback. He looked at her as if to say, ma'am, have you lost your mind? I'm Forrest goddamn Whitaker. You see my eye.
Frowning, he points at his right eye.
But the woman, she didn't budge a bit, right? She just looked right back at him and rolled her neck as if to say, sir, you ain't special. This is an IHOP. Everybody's got a fucked up eye. We all fucked up in the hop. That's how we got here. And it was this crazy standoff, right, between Forrest Whitaker and the pancake lady. Neither one of them budging a bit. And then out of nowhere, my boy Will, he was outside smoking. He comes back in. He sees Forrest Whitaker. He goes, oh, shit. Forrest Whitaker? You eat at IHOP? Weird choice. And I'll never forget it because Academy Award winner Forrest Whitaker, he looked at us. He looked at everybody in the restaurant and he just went, man, fuck y'all.
He laughs.
Best thing.
He shakes his head.
You know what best thing is crazy? Because you and I, every single person in this room, we've all had so many magical experiences that no human should ever have to weigh themselves against. Do you know what I mean? It's almost unfair to ask you to compare your greatest joys to another person. Look, hey, I've gotten pussy and Cinnabon in the same night. That's a miracle.
He stares intently.
This is a better example. Okay, here it is. Okay, this is okay. Last year, for my birthday, right, me and my friends, we did a shit ton of mushrooms, right? We got super high on mushrooms, real fucked up on mushrooms. And then we went to a public park. We sat on a bench, and then we heckled an adult softball league. You understand? That's how I celebrated my 35th birthday. And I'll be honest, that's the best thing that's ever happened to me. So much funnier than a baby. You know what? This is why it was dope, because those people had paid money to be there. The players, they have to, like, work hard to organize themselves with registration fees and uniforms, all under the guise of spending this peaceful afternoon in the park playing sports with their friends. And then out of nowhere, a group of urban youth. You know, white people can't tell how old we are. A group of urban youth. Some rowdy eighth graders showed up and just started yelling weird, mushroomy shit at them. Stuff that didn't even make sense. I was just sitting on a bench like, hey, number three, you remember Bob Dole? You know Bob Dole, he was a politician, 80s, 90s, ran for president, never won. You remember Bob Dole? Remember he had that weird fucked up arm? Little arm, he had to keep a pin in it so nobody noticed how mangled his little hand was. Remember Bob Dole? Well, you throw like Bob Dole. Fuck you, number three. Bob Dole throwing motherfucker.
He chuckles.
This was the best part of the afternoon. At one point, the left fielder, and I guess I'm cautious to call him a left fielder because he was very clearly an office manager. You know what I mean? He wasn't left field by trade. But the office manager in left field, he missed an easy pop fly, right? Easy pop fly goes over his head. He falls down. Super embarrassing moment. And then I took it upon myself. I stood up in front of everybody at the park. I stood up and I shouted. I said, hey, I'm not angry, but your mother and I are very disappointed.
With his hand on his hip, he laughs.
I shouted that in front of everybody. And what y'all have to understand is that that joke did fine here.
He looks around the room.
Fine, y'all are cool, but at the park, I fucking killed. You know what I mean? Y'all are okay, but at the park, I goddamn destroyed. Me and my friends, we were high-fiving and shit. Jogging bitches, they stopped, they were laughing. The Mexican man with the popsicles, he winked at me. Gave me a free Snoopy. Destroyed, right? But here's what you also have to understand is that when I said that, I was on mushrooms, right? I was high as the day is long. So when I said that and me and this person in left field made eye contact, there was a brief moment where I was his father. You understand, I was this 40-year-old white man's dad. And I'll be honest, I was disappointed. Because this isn't the life that I imagined for my white son. Maybe that's good enough for your white boys, but not mine. No, sir, his mother and I had worked too hard to give him a life he didn't even earn. We paid off the DUIs. We bribed the college admissions officers. We introduced him to people named Humphrey. And all we ever asked of him was that he not shame us, don't embarrass us in this public way. And I got so angry, just so in my head rageful at what my son was doing that out of nowhere, I shouted in front of everybody. I said, hey, I'm selling the house in the Berkshires and I'm cutting you out of the trust. And then no one laughed because no one knew what the fuck I was talking about. Mexican man took back his popsicle. Give me that shit. I thought you were funny. You're weird. You're a weird guy at the park. Best thing. You're telling me I'm the best thing that's ever happened to my parents? You're the best thing that's ever happened to your parents? Most of us still get embarrassed when we have to read out loud. The other day I was reading my daughter a bedtime story and I ran into the word pterodactyl. Fucked up my whole evening. I was just sitting there like, what the fuck is a pterodactyl? See, this is the government trying to put the names of prescription drug medications in our children's books. They trying to get my baby hooked on this shit. They trying to make my daughter a pedo head. I can't be the best thing, man. There's so much I'm dumb about, so much I don't understand in the world. Okay, great example. Let's talk about this. As it relates to COVID, right? Specifically the COVID vaccine. Am I the only person, am I the only one in this room who thought Walgreens would have a separate staff? You know, like for the medical interventions? I thought there'd be like Walgreens doctors and Walgreens nurses. It's not, it's the same niggas. It's the same people who sell you batteries. Some of y'all don't get it. Listen, hey, the key for the deodorant and the key for the Moderna, it's on the same ring. It's just one dude being like, what you need, player? Yeah, I got you. Oh, Pfizer, nah, I can't get you the Pfizer. Gotta call the manager for the Pfizer. You want that Johnson & Johnson? I get you that right now. We keep that in the fridge with the hot pockets. I get you Johnson & Johnson. The Pfizer, we gotta call the manager. He got the big key. Also, please fill out this form because I am now your primary care physician. We gonna change up your diet. You eating string cheese this year. It's on sale. Can't be the best thing, man. I still get hard when I ain't supposed to be hard. Do you know what I mean? That's not a threat. I don't like how you're looking. That's not a... I'm not threatening you. You enjoy your evening. I'm saying I get boners when I didn't expect to have a boner. Like when I'm waiting for the train. Everybody be looking at me like, damn, he really loves the train. But I don't. I'm not a train guy. I'm not even like that. I just can't help it. I used to think it was just a me thing. Do you know what I mean? I used to think I was the only person hard in my local Chipotle. But after years of careful research, I've come to discover it's not just a me thing. In fact, every dude in here has the exact same problem. Ladies, whether he's ready to admit it or not, every dude has found himself at work, just in a marketing meeting, with a throbbing erection he can't explain. Just avoiding pie charts, because those are making it worse somehow. Like, oh God, are we at 98%? Lord, I'm about to bust. I can't. I pray to God they don't push that pie chart next to another pie chart, because that's titties, and I'm going to come. I'm going to come from that pie booty. We can't control our bodies. That's why I don't listen to anything men have to say about, like, reproductive responsibility and the women. No, because we be hard. We be hard. And if you got a hard dick, you should maybe tuck it in your belt and shut the fuck up. I'm not trying to hear your hard dick opinions. You can't be erect and correct at the same time. Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna run for president. I'm gonna be up there giving speeches, hard as hell. Like, damn, Putin got them big bombs, don't he? Shit. Putin bombs look like titties, fuck. Big old titty bombs. I think I just have fear about what it means to raise a child, you know what I mean? To bring a person to their greatest potential, that's scary. Fear, honestly, that existed throughout my wife's entire pregnancy. Terrified, genuinely afraid. The entire time I was terrified I was gonna end up with a white baby. Terrified. And I'll explain it, it's not as confusing as you think it is. I'm biracial, right? My mother's black, my father is white. My wife is the exact same mix. So. If I'm half white, and she's half white, and recessive genes kick in, we could end up with a fucking daywalker. Just a little surprise white baby. Just a little tampon color Tyler with varicose veins. Tell my daddy, I'm in the mood for poached eggs. Ugh. White baby. I don't want a baby that ages like a gypsy curse. Why does this baby look older than me? I hate it. Hate this white baby. And I don't have anything against white people. I don't. Honestly, I'm a big fan of your work. I really am. Rollerblades? Y'all did that. Don't let anybody tell you you ain't make rollerblades. Y'all are the reason we shred. Like I said, man, my father's white, so here it is. It's hard to blame the white man for all of your problems when the white man still pays your cell phone bill. I'm on the devil's family plan. I can't be that, you know what I mean? I can't be up here like brothers and sisters. I said brothers and sisters and maybe even Vin Diesel. It's hard to tell with him. What color is that exactly? Periwinkle? He looked like an old-ass cauliflower. Anyway, we must overthrow the white man. We must bring every single white person to justice, except for the white people who send me money on my birthday. Also, the entire cast of The Office. They are hilarious. And whichever white person invented fruit on a bottom yogurt, I tried it. I love it. I love it. The other day, I ate a boysenberry flavor. I took a good, healthy poop, and I thought, oh, this is why white people act like that. It's too much power. I feel too strong. I want to open a private prison and use a neti pot. I love it. Take my shoes off on a plane. I love it. Feels good. Fear. No, our biggest fear is with a kid. Genuinely, this is my biggest fear, is how do you make your kid into a good person? Do you know what I mean? If you have a kid, if you're a parent here, and I think we can all agree on this, you're just guessing. All of us. We plug in a formula. We plug in the exact same formula. You teach them to share. You give the motherfuckers vegetables and shit. And then you just hope. You just hope your kid doesn't turn into like a serial killer. Or even worse, one of those people who draws Lion King characters with human titties. You remember those psychopaths in school? Those future Republican senators? Any cartoon titty kids here tonight? Anybody want to fess up to what they did? Nobody ever raises their hand, but statistically, that can't be correct. The math don't check out, because every class I was in, I'd look over and some kid was disgracing the Disney Corporation. And let's be clear, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what Walt Disney wanted. Walter Disney? Walt Disney wanted good, wholesome content. Also, to exterminate the Jews. He wanted dead Jews and good family-friendly content. And now you look over and some kid is drawing Zazu, just the bird from Lion King with big, heavy lunch lady titties. Big casserole and spatula titties. Not a bird can't fly. Talking about Simba, I can't help you become king, my back hurts. What God would make me like this, Simba? Kill me. How do you make them good? This is probably a weird transition after that titty joke, but I used to be a high school teacher. That's what I did before comedy. I taught 9th, 11th, and 12th grade English. I'm the reason your kid pronounces it library. I could have helped. I chose not to. I wanted to see him flail. Teaching's tough, man. This is what made teaching so difficult for me, is that no matter how challenging a kid is, right, no matter how difficult a kid is, you have to maintain this hope, this faith, that they can still grow into better people, right, that they can still find the best version of themselves. And that's so hard because so many kids deserve to be pepper sprayed, right? They deserve to be maced in their fucking eyeballs. Until they learn to contribute to society. Some of the meanest things that have ever been said to me came from children. Not my enemies, little unwashed people. Motherfuckers who don't wipe so good. This is the meanest thing anyone's ever said to me. One time I had a little girl raise her hand, middle of class, she raised her hand to tell me she didn't think I could ever become a professional male model because I have too much adult acne.
With his arm raised, he looks around the room.
You understand, she interrupted class to tell me, keep in mind, I wasn't trying to be a male model at all. I wasn't doing nothing sexy. I was trying to teach this bitch to read. But something so hateful in her spirit saw me up there trying my best, and she thought to herself, uh-uh.
He waves.
Uh-uh, no way, uh-uh, fuck that, uh-uh. This motherfucker got too much confidence. Notice, bumpy face nigga, he believes in himself too much. I need to let him know that just in case he was thinking about changing careers, male model is not an option. No, I know he's trying to make us think critically about literature, but fuck that. He needs to think about the back of a proactive bottle. His skin is terrible. He looks like multigrain. I'm gonna tell him he looked like bread.
Lowering his arm, he laughs as he wanders across the stage.
There are kids who I taught that I still want to fight to this day. To this day, there's this little bitch named Edna. I'll decap Edna's knees if I ever see her again. This is really what I want, and some of y'all might work in education. I think this will make sense to you. I want to stab Edna in the stomach, right? I want to knife her up real good in the belly. And then afterwards, I want to stuff the wound with hot Cheetos. So she die all spicy and shit. Fucking hate Edna. Edna's the reason I stopped writing poetry. You understand? She stole the magic of verse from me. Let me be clear. This wasn't my original dream. I didn't want to perform behind a bar. You know what I mean? I wanted to be a poet. I'm telling y'all, I was going to be a poet. I was going to write silky metaphors. I was going to wear thick tweed jackets. I was going to go down on weird ladies with hairy armpits. I was going to be a poet. And then I had to teach an after-school poetry program for Edna's class. And every day for 8 consecutive weeks, that little girl hurt my feelings. She made me sad for 2 lunar cycles, and now I want her dead.
He takes a couple of steps backwards.
It was a poetry class, right? And this is where I messed up. This was my mistake. I'm going to admit that up top. This is where I messed up. I thought the best way to get these kids to write their poems was for me to share one of my own. Right? Huge mistake. Right. Yeah. I get it. I fucked up. I should have just read them Tupac lyrics like my teachers did for me. Like, listen up, kids. First off, fuck your bitch and the clique you claim. That's called the stanza. Even worse, the poem that I read them was a poem that meant a lot to me at the time. It was a poem about a friend of mine who died in a car crash. This girl I know who died in a car crash, and in the poem I do all this metaphorical work to compare her death to the death of a spider I found in my windowsill. And the final lines of the poem go, the exact final lines of the poem go, how close to God this spider must feel weaving a world above the earth. The string as thin as breath, the breath so easily silenced, a net of wings fluttering toward blind quiet. And before I could even finish, before anyone even had a chance to process the words coming out of my mouth, Edna just went, damn, this poetry nigga gay as hell. Fucking bitch, I'm gonna kill this stupid little bitch. Stupid bad-headed ass baby, I'll punch you in the head, you stupid bitch. Punch you dead in your fucking face. Kids break you. They break the person you thought you were gonna be, and then we subsequently break them, and it becomes this ugly cycle of broken people. This is a great example of what I mean. Years ago, I read this article about a teacher in Idaho, right? Teacher in Idaho who got fired from his job, he got arrested, he got taken to jail because he brought a puppy to school to show his class. Right? Seems harmless enough. He brought a puppy to the school. He showed the puppy to his students, And then afterwards, he fed that puppy to the class's pet snapping turtle.
He raises his eyebrows and points at the audience.
Everybody okay? I didn't do it. I'm just a reporter. You understand, he fed a baby dog to a living dinosaur in front of children. And every article I read had the exact same reaction many of you are having. Every single one was like, oh my God, what kind of irreparable damage has this man done to these kids? What kind of permanent damage has he done to these poor kids? And I kept reading those articles and thinking about my experience as a teacher. And I kept thinking, man, fuck those kids. Fuck them. What kind of permanent damage did those kids do to him?
He frowns.
Because he wasn't like that at the beginning of the year. He didn't start off that way. That wasn't written in the syllabus. They broke him. They broke his brain. They taunted him, and they teased him, and they took pictures of his paycheck, and they posted it on the internet. Till one day he snapped, and he found himself holding a dog over this ravenous reptile, staring out at 11-year-olds like...
He stares wide-eyed.
Is this what you want? Are you not entertained? I swear to God, if one more of y'all brings up my divorce, I'll kill this fucking dog. Today's lesson is about minding your goddamn business. Turn to page 18.
He looks around the room.
Okay, this next election from Sunset Singles.
He laughs.
This next piece I want to share with you is a personal favorite. It's a personal favorite. It's a little number that I've simply entitled Sophisticated. Sophisticated, we'll play it for you now.
Hello, this is Joe calling. You have a very sophisticated voice as well as a very sophisticated look. You must be a very sophisticated person. I'd love to meet up with you. You would like to have a drink. I'm a lawyer. Give me a call if you would. You could find one.
Okay, first of all, can anyone here definitively prove that that wasn't Joe Biden? Can you definitively prove that that wasn't America's horniest president just trying to stutter his way into a little side malarkey, you know what I mean? A little malarkey on the side. And for those of you that are pulling back, because I do see some of you, you're wondering, is maybe this too far? Let me remind you, I'm trying to have sex with him. He's not a victim in this situation. He's a 138-year-old man who I'm trying to give some pussy. I'm a hero in this story. How do you make a good person? People say love. Love, love, you know, the thing that Flavor Flav and Brigitte Nielsen had. They say that's how you make a good person. I don't know if I believe in that. I don't know if I still believe in love, honestly. I just found out my wife thinks that I'm special needs. And yes, she means it in a derogatory way. She's a bad lady. She should go to jail. Lock her up. The other day, she called me from work, and she said this to me verbatim. Verbatim, this is what she said to me. Now, keep in mind, I have changed some of the words to make me sound better and her sound worse. But verbatim, this is what she said to me. She called me up, right, and she said, hey, I'm making chili tonight, and I need you to heat up a can of beans. And then she said, and I'll never forget it, she said, and whatever you do, don't put the can in the microwave. You understand? She told me her emergency contact. Not to put a can. And when she said that, I took a deep breath. You know what I mean? I took a deep breath and I really thought about all the time we've spent together. The love that we've shared, the bond that we've built. I took a deep breath and then finally, very calmly, I said, bitch, I'll fucking kill you. I will kill you dead. I will take that gun that we bought after white people tried to take back the country from other white people. And I will shoot you in the leg. Is that what you think of me? That I'm metal in a microwave, stupid? You let me come inside of you. You let that cum become a person. You leave me alone for hours, completely unsupervised, with that cum. Not to mention all those loose cans of beans. And this whole time, she just been thinking, damn, I bet someday he gonna kill himself with a microwave. I bet someday he gonna put a can of SpaghettiOs in the microwave, push the popcorn button, and blow his fucking face off. And then our daughter's gonna have to grow up in a world where people refer to her dumbass daddy as Orville Dettenbacher.
With his hand on his hip, he shakes his head.
It's a long way for a pun. Some say too long. That's critique I've heard, too long. Love. You want to talk about love? My mom has been married 4 times to 4 different men. 4. That's a Jodeci's worth of husbands. Some of y'all are white. That's a 98 degrees worth of husbands. For the older people, Jersey boys. 4 different husbands. And sometimes I think my mom's the only person who truly figured love out. You know what I mean? She's the only person who figured out what love is supposed to be. Because while the rest of us have potentially wasted our lives trying to find some perfect, special someone who may not even exist, instead, my mom gets married every El Nino. She finds a new husband every other Toyota-thon. And she just be having fun out there. She'll marry anybody. Old-ass karate students. Grown men who order apple juice at restaurants. At one point, I'm not making this up, my mom married a disgraced NBA mascot. Yeah, that's not a Mad Lib. That's a choice she made. In front of God and the government. And all right, let's just start from the beginning. I'll walk. You have questions, I have answers. First of all, did you know that NBA mascots could be disgraced? No? Even worse, did you know these disgraced motherfuckers could fuck your mom? Apparently, it could happen to any of us. Apparently, none of our mothers can resist the sexual chemistry of a dishonorably discharged Benny the Bull.
He raises his eyebrows.
My mom married Benny the Bull. And not at his best. No! Don't clap for that! Shame on you! It's hurting my family! And the next question you're naturally asking, you want to know, is how did he lose his job as Benny the Bull, right? How does one lose such a coveted position as Chicago mascot Benny the Bull? I'll tell you, he was fired from his job as Benny the Bull because, and I'm not making this up, in 2004, he got caught selling drugs after a game in full costume. Just standing in the parking lot. Even the police walked up like, Benny, what are you doing? Those are your work clothes. He was arrested. He was banned from the stadium for life, and my personal favorite detail, they added his name to the Wikipedia page. If you go home tonight, when you go home tonight, look it up yourself. Go to wikipedia.org/Benny the Bull. And then, when you're there, scroll down to a section entitled Scandal. And there you will read about possibly the dumbest man for whom I've ever had to buy a Father's Day card. Love. What does it even mean to be a good person? You know what I mean? Given the state of the world, what does good person even really mean? All of our heroes are monsters, and all of our monsters have podcasts. What does good person even mean? There is no good and bad. It's not just good and bad. It's not just right and wrong. It's not just dark-skinned Sammy Sosa and Hello Kitty-colored Sammy Sosa. There's so many different shades of Sammy Sosa in between. My personal favorite, Tapioca Sosa.
He shrugs.
Good and bad, that's all bullshit. This is a great example of what I mean. This is a perfect metaphor of what I'm trying to say. My favorite restaurant in the world, my absolute favorite restaurant in the world is McDonald's. How dare you? Watch your goddamn mouth. I love McDonald's. I don't care what anybody says. I love it. I love everything about it. I like the food. I like the service. When people show me fight videos at McDonald's, I root for the staff. Y'all don't know how to act in a classy establishment. The manager has on a visor. Show some respect. I love McDonald's, right? The other day, I'm at McDonald's and I ordered myself a 10-piece nugget. That's my shit. Now, here's where the story gets crazy. Because the woman behind the register, she winked at me. She winked at me. And then she gave me 12 nuggets. Come on. Some of y'all get it. Some of y'all know exactly what happened. For those of you that don't worry, I'll explain. 11 nuggets is a mistake, right? That's a miscount. She ain't go to college. That's a miscalculation.
With his hand raised, he shakes his head and gazes up as he counts on his fingers.
That's a miscalculation of the nuggets. 11 nuggets is a mistake, but 12 nuggets, she's trying to fuck. Right? She's trying to have sex with me for 12 nuggets. The box doesn't even close all the way. With 12 nuggets, it's just sitting wide open, ready for me to come inside. Put some sauce on it. You know what sauce I'm talking about. It ain't barbecue. It ain't barbecue. And my wife doesn't even like when I go to McDonald's. She gets so upset. Oh my God, McDonald's, that stuff is terrible for you. They make their nuggets out of failed pregnancy tests. She says wild shit. Evil shit about McDonald's. And yet here I was, standing in front of a woman, willing to give me more nuggets than I've ever experienced in my life. Just a utopia of nuggets in a bag. And I swear to God, in that moment, in that exact moment, it took everything in my being not to run away with the McDonald's lady. Yeah, not to just run away and start a new life. Bro, we'd have a beautiful life. The McDonald's lady isn't gonna make me read. The McDonald's lady isn't gonna make me fold fitted sheets. Or vote during midterm elections. The McDonald's lady is just gonna give me nuggets. She'll give me nuggets, then she'll give me that nasty McDonald's sex. You know what I mean? Just that raw, it's just sex and nuggets and sex and nuggets and sex and nuggets till we both die at 48 happy. Just keel over and die from nugget poisoning, dead. And maybe, hear me out, y'all, maybe that's what we all should want. Maybe that's the dream. No, you're right. Maybe that's the dream we should all be chasing. Let's be honest. The world is ending. It is. That's not like political slant. You don't gotta agree with it. It is. The ice caps are melting. Bumblebees are dying. They added black people to Jackass. We're done. We're done. It's grown black men being like, kick me in the dick, Johnny Knoxville. I'll try it.
With one hand on his hip, he shakes his head and shrugs.
We're done. But here's a ray of sunshine I can offer you before we go home this evening, right? Here's a little silver lining. The other day, I read an article about a woman who kept a box of chicken McNuggets for 6 years. 6 years, she kept the box. She's single, 6 years. She ain't seeing nobody. She got on them nuggets everywhere. She kept this box of chicken McNuggets, right? And on the day of that 6 year, the day that 6 years hit, she opened that box, she looked inside, and you've already guessed it, those nuggets were exactly as she left them. No change whatsoever, no mold, no crust, none of them little things that be growing on Morgan Freeman's face. You know, little old nigga chocolate chips he got popping up everywhere.
He points at various places on his face.
Nothing. And I read that article and I thought to myself, holy shit, most marriages don't make it 6 years, right? Most of our promises before God and well before these nuggets ever did. Maybe all of this is a fallacy. Maybe all these suggestions of eternity and everlasting are bullshit. Maybe we should just be eating what we want and microwaving cans. And jerking off to the green M&M. Do you know what I mean? Just beating our meat to the green one, because she got eyelashes and we like that. I don't care if you take her boots away, she still got them eyelashes. Let me see them eyelashes. You know what I like.
Frowning, he stares at the audience and sways.
Maybe the only forever we can guarantee is chicken McNuggets. And then I thought to myself, holy shit, I should have got my dick sucked by that McDonald's lady. Because maybe the preservatives in her mouth would have transferred onto my penis and made my nuggets last forever.
He raises his arm.
And that, above everything else, would be the best thing that's ever happened to me.
He walks over to the microphone stand, picks it up, and puts it down on the stage.
And if you didn't like that joke, just know that getting my dick sucked is a metaphor for finding true happiness beyond the broken expectations of a dying world. And if you did like that joke, fuck yeah. This final selection from Sunset Singles. This final piece I want to share with you this evening is untitled. There's no title for this one, but I will say it is by far the most haunting message that I have ever heard or received in my time on this planet Earth. Truly bone-chilling shit. That's all you need to know. We'll play it for you now.
Oh, it's good to be here, and I'm just here searching for the special one. If I don't write you, I don't like you. If I write you, then I like you. Let's watch it grow slowly, slow but steady. Hit me up if you think you like me. Let's get familiar.
So now y'all gotta go home with whatever that is. Thank you, Chicago. This is dope. Thank y'all for being here, man.
Description by Post House VSI Los Angeles. Audio description scriptwriter Mari Morrison. Audio description narrator Jonathan Bradley. Credits appear. Written and performed by Langston Kerman. Executive producers John Mulaney and Langston Kerman. Co-executive producer John Foy. Directed by John Mulaney. Edited by Kelly Leone, ACE. Line producer Christy Acquisino. Director of photography Cameron Barnett. Other credits follow. words appear. One time for Jack Knight, one more time for Chester Brewer, to Nikki and Kenzie. Recorded live at the Green Mill. A logo appears. MCP, Multiple Camera Productions.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.